right now. I hit record. I'm going to turn you up.
All right.
I'm going to have it be loud. And if we peak, then we peak. But I want to be able to hear us.
Do you have like a little register that says when it's clipping or when it's like hitting to the red?
I mean, I show the little things and like when I'm talking right now, it's like hanging out between green and yellow. But if I like, ha, like that peaks.
Okay.
But I don't think it peaks like, I don't think it's going to be like, oh.
Or it's clipping all the time and you're like, ow, ow, ow.
Right.
Ow, but ow,
I think,
ow, ow.
I think it's good. I think we're good. We're rolling. Everything's golden.
Cool.
And I made sure to make sure that the phone's recording, even though it's recording nothing right now. But it's something.
But that line is,
but
is
it's
live.
It's live, so we don't have to worry about it later. So if my phone rings or something.
So we could go to a call. We could, like,
yeah.
If we did it, like, with a video, we could, like,
oh,
get
yeah,
up, we're going
like
to a
calls
call.
Right now. Right? Then, we could literally
yep,
go for it.
And then be. Oh, dude. Our options are, like, what we can do are just expanding and expounding.
It's very, very true. And, like, so because it's live and I have this stupid thing that you were playing with the other day, like we could do this whenever we want.
Epic fail.
yeah.
Now, but I'm like, trying to then think I'd have to like pay. Well, what I want to do is I want to go through it because you can reorganize them. So I want to make like the front page, like stuff that we might actually really use.
Right.
And so, yeah, anyway.
Yeah. That's kind of like the Jazzler program. But yeah, part of me was like, I'd like to get that.
Yeah.
But Tony uses that for his, you know, for football. So he has certain ones loaded up for different players.
Oh, where you can, like, yeah.
Yeah, and so someone's, like, the freight train of something. And like, yeah, yep, yeah. Right. So that's all good. And I was thinking the same thing. So we don't want to be too, like, you know, morning zoo.
Right,
you know,
but we have that option.
But, you know, we deserve to at least play a little bit.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what that's all about.
It's our own show. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, let's make stupid sounds.
That
make you laugh.
It.
Yeah, for sure.
Hopefully it makes you laugh. Otherwise, they'll just be like, these idiots. Look at them.
So you know what the new way is? The new way.
What's that?
The new way is from now on, we go and we meet with a guest and hang out with them first. That's the new way. Instead
sure.
of recording
right.
you know, right away, it's better to go and hang out
right.
and not record.
Yes.
And then just, you know, because it's not like all about like what we're going to get on tape or
right.
however
it's
you
about
call it.
Building a little chemistry.
Yeah,
and,
make a little, yeah. So that's, yeah. So,
are you referring to the fact that you're not hearing Jesse Egan's voice right now?
Well, okay, so we did say next week is going to be Jesse Egan.
Right.
And Jesse Egan will be
next week or the week after. Yeah. He'll be soon.
Yes, he'll be very soon.
Yeah,
but yep. I failed us by not bringing appropriate equipment when we went to go record the podcast. It was epic. It was epic.
I can't pay attention to that. I gotta put it down.
Epic fail.
No, like you packed everything up and you thought you had everything because it was all packed up and ready to go. And then we got there, we just didn't have microphone cord.
And it was like, it was this white bag
yep.
that was sitting on the couch that I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And so.
No microphone cords. So, yeah. But it was cool because like when we got there, well, hold on a second. I want to talk about that on the show. This might be a short episode. We've had a tendency to say that before, but then when we start talking, it's like, we're just never going to shut up.
You never shut up.
But I got to reach that. Got my tasty beverage. Thank you for that, by the way.
Oh, so this is called Very Organic. Very, V-E-R-I. Very Organic.
Very Organic.
Low calorie soda.
Diet soda?
It's a low calorie.
It's like a fancy organic diet soda?
Yep.
Cool.
And it's organically flavored.
And it has rum in it. Or whiskey.
Whiskey, yeah.
It has whiskey in it.
Not in the store. Listeners.
Well, right. Ooh, I'm going to go get me some of that very diet soda.
Yeah, that's great. It's got rum in it.
But, no, there has been added some added tastiness to it.
I have a full bar since my birthday.
Well, so. I know. I brought some. I'm pretty sure everyone was like, what'd you get them? Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Booze.
Yeah, that's so funny.
It's an easy gift.
It's like, a very easy gift.
Yeah.
It's a very easy gift. And also, I think the idea is like if you're going to hang out with people.
Right.
Everybody can have something they want to drink, and,
yep.
and you can drink, and so
it's awesome.
So I can provide for very many nights,
for sure.
Several nights I can provide.
Cool,
so I'm
down.
To.
Visit lifesabinge.com. Check out the website. Check out our Twitter, which there's been tweets happening. Jessica's been tweeting.
She has been.
Yes.
Dang it! All right, I need to follow her.
Follow us. Life's a
binge. I think I do follow us.
Well, that's where she's tweeting from.
Dang it. Am I not following us actively?
Life's a binge. So follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram at Life's a Binge. Maybe there'll be pictures starting to happen there, but I doubt it because I'm lazy. But things are, you know, we're trying to get better at that type of stuff. So definitely tweet at us. Dang it. I don't have it in front of me. What's our phone number? I forgot to mention it last time. You don't
know our phone number? I know the phone number.
As long as you know it.
I know it by heart.
Oh, sure.
You remembered it?
No. Did you have it?
Of course I remember the phone number. Well, it's 619-438-0532.
438-0532.
So, 438, and there's an 8 right there.
Yep.
And then the 0532 is an 8 in the middle of those section of numbers.
Sure.
5 and a 3 make an 8.
Yeah, well, I'm going to play. We have one.
We do? So,
yeah, I'm going to play it, and we'll see what it says. Where we got? Let's try this one.
619-438-0532. Call us from...
Nope, hold on.
Now, why isn't that coming through the thing?
Because it was set up to go through the phone. I fixed it just now. Here we go.
Okay.
Here's a voicemail that we have received that you can call and leave something like this as well.
Hello, my favorite binge boys. It's your not-so-friendly, semi-friendly neighborhood, Nick.
Yeah, Nick.
I thought maybe we should talk about Riverdale. It's a great show. I binged the shit out of it 3 times, season 1, in like 2 weeks. It's a great take on the Archie and Jughead comics. I'd also like to talk about the... Toward the Pharmacy, great mockumentary, and also Why I'm Sitting on the Fence About Fate of the Furious. So, love to see you guys on the couch. Let me know if you guys want to do it. Love you guys.
Later. You want to do it?
I always want to do it, is all I'm saying.
Let's do it.
So, yeah, things of note.
I watched an episode of Riverdale.
I was gonna.
But you didn't yet.
I have not yet, okay. But I was concentrating on Ozark, but that's next on like the list of like, this is cool. Like,
it's I've not heard next about on the list. No, there's
it's
too not. Many.
Yeah. But it's definitely on the radar since Nick is one of my good buddies. He's like, you really dig it. Like, it's cool. Like, it is a cool, like, modern take on Archie, that kind of stuff. And I was like, well, CW, like kind of like when we were doing Supernatural and stuff, you're like, it's CW, like, it's dumb, it's gonna be dumb, cheesy, teeny bop, like, dumb. But I've heard that it's actually pretty good, pretty well done, pretty well made. So
Beth Accomando binged it for while she was sick.
Yeah.
And so
I'm actually kind of down for that. So Nick, yeah, we'll probably watch Riverdale, and when we do, we'll definitely hit you up to chat about that for a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely worth talking about because it's got like a this thing keeps sinking.
It's got I know.
It's this piece of shit microphone stand. These parts right here, this little screw thing is on my other one too. They're the worst.
I know. Anyway. He's sounding way better now, though.
There we go.
Yeah. So, yeah, he mentioned Riverdale. He said Tour de Pharmacy, which I really want to watch. I don't know if it's out yet. Do you know
what's this? Is it about
Tour de Pharmacy?
Lance Armstrong?
It's a mockumentary based on the Tour de France.
Okay.
And it's like, I don't know who's behind it, but I know that like Andy Samberg's involved. And there's just like a whole list of like funny people. And it's basically like them ripping on the cycling industry that everyone is like doped out of their minds.
Right.
And so like John Cena's in it, and like he's like you see Andy Samberg like racing on his bike, and then like John Cena like rolls up next to him, and he's like beefed out of his mind because he's John Cena. I think I
saw an ad for that once.
Yeah. So and it just looks really funny. And there's like a part where they're like interviewing people or whatever, and it's Lance Armstrong. You can clearly see him, and it's supposed to be like one of those like sitting in like profiles or silhouette,
right?
And his voice is all like distorted,
right?
And he's like, I have a feeling people can see me, and like he's clear as day, but like his voice is all whacked out.
So he kind of pokes fun at himself
for sure.
That's great.
And then they're
that's
like,
great. I mean, considering
he
was such an asshole, you know, or maybe it is such an asshole.
Yeah, it's debatable.
Well, God, you know, if having cancer made you a saint, you know, which in general, a lot of people's eyes, it's like it does.
Right. Right, right, right.
And then if you're not,
it's not so much that I don't know. I'm torn on Lance Armstrong because I was really big into cycling for a while. I was a cyclist for a long time.
He was kind of interesting.
He was kind of like a. It was, I mean, he was like a super mega sports icon for quite some time, not just in cycling.
No, yeah,
but
he was
not,
huge.
But not only that, but like his Livestrong Foundation really did true. Do a lot yep. of
that's
good.
That's true. No, that's
and
true.
It would not have gone anywhere if he wasn't Lance Armstrong.
If he wasn't a seven-time right. Tour de France champion.
And so it's kind of, it was a real bummer for me when I was like, yeah, we know Lance. Like we
that
all know.
That was disappointing.
And he was still like, nope, 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 just like they all do. Nope, yeah. nope, nope. And then it's like,
So offended in my life to think that I would dope after all this cure, you know, or after all this years of training and my cancer.
Yeah, it was
too bad.
It was a bummer.
It's too bad. It's a real bummer.
But it is fun that he can now joke about it and stuff.
Hey, so. That's nothing but good, if you ask me. So,
And so that looks really funny, Tour de Pharmacy. And then the last thing, what was the last? Oh, he said he's on the fence about Fate of the Furious, which is the Fast and Furious number 8, which I have seen. And I do stand by those movies, but that one
is weak.
It's
the weakest?
I don't even know. It's not the weakest. Like, number 3 or, like, Tokyo Drift is by far the weakest, in my opinion. But it's just not, it's not the same, I don't think. Because, like, Paul Walker's not in it. He was kind of a big deal for it. And, like, you can't have
so
him
this
in it
completely
like,
happened after.
Completely after.
And the seventh one, what happened with
he
him,
was
he
in
died.
Yes.
He died while they were filming it.
Correct.
Okay.
But
they don't, his character doesn't die? Is that right?
No, he does not. He leaves. He, like, gives it up. He's like, I can't do this anymore. My wife is having a baby. We're
now,
out.
Now, when you watch that, did you think that, like, could you tell, like, oh, this was how clearly it was rewritten for the circumstances?
Not really. Like, you can kind of tell.
Or did they have enough of that shot already?
Yeah. Whereas it kind of made sense for him to bail anyway, because he'd been toying around with that anyway.
He was a cop, right? He was an undercover cop?
Away originally, but then...
In the first one.
Yeah, and then he gave that up real quick and was just part of the super team. Dude, we didn't even breathe in yet. We should just do that right
let's
now.
Let's do it. Life's a binge. Right?
That was so random. We're just talking about
how far in? How far
12
in?
Minutes.
12 minutes.
12 minutes in.
Start the show.
But let's whatever. Start the show. Yeah, here you go. We're back in it. So, Fast and the Furious. Yeah, he's an undercover cop in the first one, and then he quickly gives up that and is just part of the like team of like. They're not like crime solvers or whatever, but they're, you know, they always end up having to like stop the world from terrorists by like driving their cars fast.
So this one's coming out.
It came out.
No. I'm sorry. This episode.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This episode is coming out Sunday.
Yep.
Or Monday, I should say.
Correct.
It
would be
this
the
Monday.
14th. Yes.
Yeah,
Monday,
okay.
August 14th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the one. With Jesse,
that'll be the next one.
Will
so
be
the 21st
coming out the day of the eclipse.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So when we talk to Jesse, we got to talk about the eclipse.
Yeah,
because
even though it wouldn't have happened, but it will have happened by the time people listen to it.
Well, yeah. So for hardcore bingers,
yeah,
they'll listen on Monday before the eclipse. No. Probably not.
It'll
unless
be,
they do it in the
be
morning.
They'll be listening on their like morning jog.
Yeah.
And it will be
the eclipse
happening.
Is happening. Yeah. Right. Right.
It's crazy.
Oof. So,
yeah. That's crazy.
I was just thinking about timeline and living in the future. And,
oh, yeah.
How we're gonna hit all that stuff.
You know, we'll hit it. It's what we do.
So, next week, eclipse.
Yeah. But
I'm losing
week,
my mind. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. It's all good. You're allowed to lose your mind. This is like really quickly thrown together. Like I literally just came from celebrating Samantha's birthday.
Happy birthday, Samantha.
Yeah. Happy birthday, baby.
Your fiance.
That's right.
Fiance.
Wife. It's crazy. And so we just kind of were like, we got to get something out. We didn't necessarily want to play.
I don't think it's that. No, I think
no. We didn't want to play a rerun, but like we had a plan, and then the plan fell through. So it's like, well, now we got to figure something else out. Yeah. And so it was like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And now here we are.
You've been a champ about you know, me screwing up like that. Like you rolled with it real nice.
I
appreciate that.
It really wasn't that big of a deal. Like it really wasn't that big. If it had been like a really high profile
God
person,
damn it, BJ.
Like, I just feel bad for Jesse because he was all ready to go. And it was like, aww.
He was very cool, though. Yeah. I mean, he was very cool. Jesse's
he's
a good,
like, he's
good
just guy. Like, yeah, come by next week. Whatever. We'll do it again. Yeah. Like, I'll just be sitting here watching TV. So I was like, cool.
Yeah.
But because we kind of lost our game plan with the Jesse thing, I was like, have you finished watching Ozark?
I did.
So did I. And so, like, that's what I really, like, I know we just talked about it kind of last episode.
Yep.
But last episode, it was kind of like,
we just watched the first episode
and it was like, well, I'm intrigued. Like,
and bingers have watched or watched it now.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You know, and then for folks who maybe watched the first episode, maybe even on our recommendation,
right?
They have probably watched the whole thing. You've
watched it all now. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Samantha and I typically don't have time to watch stuff, but we both found time to watch. It's 10 episodes and like it's 10 hours and like 2 hours a night type deal. Like it goes by pretty quick. But first of all, I got to say I was right in the fact that he did know. Sorry, spoiler alert, I guess. We're going to talk about it.
He did know.
But he did know the whole time, which I was like, I knew it. Like,
well, yeah, and then you find out that his wife knew the whole time.
Right, the whole time.
Yeah.
She was, like, way in on it from the very beginning.
Yes.
Because that was, like, I think episode 8 out of 10.
That was late in the game.
When they finally showed, like, a flashback of something.
Right.
Because, like, we talked about it, like, they don't use flashbacks, they don't use, like, this whatever.
Right.
And so you're just kind of along for the ride. But then in, like, I think the 8th episode, they finally one episode show you.
The entire episode was a flashback.
Right. And, like, it was gnarly because, like, I was confused as shit that episode. Like, I don't know.
Because it doesn't say, like, well, or not, does it?
At the very beginning, it says, like, something 2007.
Oh, right. Okay, that's
or
right.
Or whatever. But right. Then, like, it bounces around from, like, he's here with this guy, and then he's here with the wife, and then they're here with that, and then he's here in the car with that. And, like, the timeline of the timeline is bouncing around into, like, this weird, like, it was very well done, but I was just confused. I turned to Samantha. I was like, it is bouncing around, right?
I thought the same thing on that episode.
I was like, it's not going linear from where they showed
still,
us.
Yeah, we're still like...
Because like that episode starts with like the car accident that they're in.
Right.
And then it goes like further back, and then it goes a little further forward when they're at the retreat, and then it goes back to... You know what? So it's like this weird like bounce around of like what... It was weird, so...
Yeah, and then that car... Now, they don't reveal what... happened as a result of the car crash though
I think everything in the past was in that episode. The fact that she got pregnant, the fact that they lost the baby in the car accident,
that was all in that episode.
I think so, and so
you don't know that they had a baby or they were pregnant,
right. Yeah,
and then the
because that was crash. That happened and then he gets, so my idea of the timeline is he had the meeting in the office and he was like, came across the idea that like, I can launder the crap out of this money.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, no, thanks. He turns him down. Then there's the car, or then she finds out that she's pregnant, and then there's the car accident, and then he goes to the retreat, because, like, obviously that's when she's, like, all depressed or whatever, and he's like, we need to get out of here. We need a vacation. And that's when he's like, we can do this thing. And she's like, yeah, let's do it.
Right.
So it's just, oh man, there's so much going on in that show. It blows my mind.
Yeah, and Jason Bateman is so good.
Yeah, he's so good.
He's so good. And Laura Linney is fantastic.
Well,
too.
And like I kept asking Samantha. I was like, do you like her? Like, do you like Wendy? Like the character's name Wendy.
Right.
I was like, do you like Wendy? And she's like, no. And I was like, I don't think I like Wendy either. Like, there's times when I like kind of feel bad or like. Whatever,
right?
But like the like, I don't know, purist in me or whatever. I'm like, she is a
romantically,
cheating.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
romantically,
she's a cheating like, cheater, and she ruined their lives.
Yeah, but
she, but like he's, you know, like I think he ruined their lives too, kind of.
Yeah,
but she ruined the like family life,
right? But you know, I think that it doesn't make it that clear, you know, that cut and dry that like she's a villain,
right?
You know, which is always the case, you know. It's look, come on, you know, like
the cheater's a villain.
Yeah, that we're you know, that she says to him, you know, yes, you know, I did this, but you know, you cut me off emotionally years ago, you know, and like all that stuff is legitimate and fucking real stuff, you know, like real stuff. And so it was good. I didn't hate her. I did, of course, at first, but
I kind of didn't really like her.
But that's cool. Now, in general, now, you know how I am with certain actresses,
right.
So I'm like, ugh, I do not like her.
Yes.
Or him.
Correct.
You know, or actors, I should say.
Yeah.
But I don't think that way about her, Laura Linney. Right. Like, I kind of like her. I think that she's generally likable.
She is very likable. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I probably forgave her pretty quick when she was like, come on now, you were a jerk to me or whatever.
Yeah, but it was, I was still just like, no, you ruined it. Like, you ruined it. You ruined everything.
You and Samantha can, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys can.
And then the kids' like storylines, like, I am sitting there like, what is going on with Jonah? Like, what is up with this kid?
Yeah, that was a little like, crazy. And that was really interesting.
It just kept getting bigger and bigger. Like, he would, like, bring animals up, and then he would, like, dissect the animal. And well, then
they caught him, like, taking the guts out of
the guts out of a coyote.
Yeah.
And his reasoning was because he's way into birds, or he's way into animals anyway.
I bought that.
And his reasoning was, like, dude, there's these vultures, and they're, like, swoop down. They have, like, 15-foot wingspans, and it, like, flew right over my head trying to get to the guts.
I buy that. Like, I bought that, at least.
I did buy it, but at the same time, I'm like, that's like psycho status. Like, he has no problems, like, gutting an animal. And,
You know what was cool about that? Well, that was what was so well done. Like, that's really, like, good writing and good, because at that time you're like, what in the hell is wrong with our kid? Right. And then you're like, I so sympathize with the parent, and I was like right with them when they was like, oh, you know, when you pull the guts out, the birds will react. And very scientifically,
right.
You know, and you're like, oh, our kid's a genius and there's nothing wrong with him.
Right.
You know, everything is great. Mm-hmm. And I was literally like along with that the entire time.
Yeah, it was very good. But then like he starts getting into guns and like
he gets darker.
Speaking of,
right.
We're sitting there and like, Tuck, the like special needs kid who's his friend or whatever, right. Not a kid, special needs adult who is his friend of sorts, just walks into like the Costco of wherever and buys like a fatty, like automatic, not semi-auto,
yeah,
an automatic machine gun, like big ass rifle.
Yep.
And just walks in and buys it. And then he clearly, like, fills out the paperwork wrong,
right.
And the guy behind the counter is like, oh, I think you meant to check this box right here, yeah, didn't you?
That you didn't mean to. You're not really buying it for somebody else,
yeah, right?
Check that one.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay,
very
great.
Good.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Do you want the bigger
magazine? He's like, I think you do.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Samantha goes, no way. And I was like, yeah.
Probably, but clearly, like, they're making a statement.
Oh, yeah. You know,
there's clearly a statement being made.
100%. But I was like, yeah, that's how it is. Not in California, because, like, California actually has legit gun laws and stuff.
But in Missouri, maybe.
But yeah, maybe, like, who knows? I don't know the gun laws anywhere else. I just know that in California, it's really hard to...
Justine Column, can you buy a gun at any place?
Just walk in and buy
them. Even if you're special needs, clearly.
Yeah, with nut. He like, and there was no wait. He just literally walked in. He's like, I want that one.
Yep.
And he's like, okay, great. Pulled it off the shelf.
And then you see later, like,
he handed it to him right then. And then he literally just leaves the store and then hands it to the kid.
And then later he's buying another one. Like the kids, they're in the store and they see him like walking out with another gun.
I think that was.
You think that's the same thing?
Time.
I don't know about that.
I wonder. Think they were.
Is it?
I think they were just showing you what was happening at the other time.
Because he's had several guns though, right?
But the other ones he stole from Buddy, the guy in the basement.
Oh, maybe so. Okay.
Well, he didn't steal them, but like he's like, that's how he got them.
That was
guns.
Really so well done. Okay. Yeah. So with the guns and with Buddy. And who's a great character.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. What a great character.
I thought he was going to be annoying.
So, whatever.
But
if you haven't seen it and you're going to watch it and you're still listening.
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, it's all good. But Buddy is a character who, when they move to the Ozarks to set up a life that they're going to be able to live.
Right. They need a cheap house, but they need a good cheap house to still live.
And wash money.
Right.
And wash money. And you know, do these sordid things.
Right.
But Buddy is someone who they end up living with.
Mm-hmm. Because he knows he's dying. His doctors gave him like a year to a year and a half.
Right.
Like that's what they say. And he's like, oh, I'm dying anyway. So the whole thing is like he's selling the house with the stipulation that he can live in the basement until he dies.
Right.
Right. And so she's like, okay. Great.
So I thought for sure they were going to kill him. Like,
I thought, like, I don't know. I thought he was going to be like snooping around and like against everything. He turns out to be
like one of the better, like, he's like one of the heroes, and he's like, he's on their side. He's on their side.
He takes a liking to the family. And like, even though if he doesn't necessarily agree with what they're doing, he still like likes them and he protects them and whatever.
He likes the boy. He likes the girl.
But it's so weird because like the things he says, you feel like he has this weird, like kind of shady, dark past that he's kind of covering up. So he kind of like, I feel like he relates to them kind of.
Right. Well, I think they start to talk about it. They tell you a little bit about it.
I just don't remember what it was, but like, you know, he has some sort of sordid past.
They don't go into all the details about it, but he has a reason for being there.
Right.
And it's similar to theirs.
Right.
So,
man, he was good.
There's
so much that happened between the first episode and the last episode. There's that, like, a whole lot. We didn't know anything about. Like, I didn't know about the FBI guy in the first episode. Like, he's there, but he doesn't show up,
or does he? Did they even hint to him?
I think he's there in the very first. Yeah, he's in the first episode. He's like in Chicago though.
Okay,
and he shows up, I think, in the second or third episode in the Ozarks. But like, his whole story arc is freaking nuts, dude.
And you don't know whether you're cheering for him or not.
I hated him. I didn't hate him. I hated him because initially I hated the Langmore family. I was like, fuck these redneck, like, drug addict hicks. Like, they're ruining everything for Jason Bateman. But then, like, I was like, I kind of like Ruth. Like, I kind of, like, I understand.
You like the
not
other
that
dude.
I like her, right. But I kind of understood. You start to understand why she is the way she is.
Yeah.
Like, she comes from, like, her father's in prison, but still has this crazy power over her, and, like.
Right.
And, like, her uncles are these, like, douchebags that are, like, small-time criminals, but nothing, like, big. And like,
but they're not. They're not.
Like, right. They're just, like, yeah. They stumble across, like, she stumbles across some, like, that's what I mean. They're small-time criminals. Like,
yeah, they are.
Like, she robs a hotel room because she was working at the hotel. She robs a hotel room and, like, steals a watch or something. But then she comes across, like, $8 million. Like, and it's like, what do we do with this? So then they start to try and become this, like, weirdo, like, crime boss family.
Right.
And I'm like, you guys are redneck. Like, what? Like,
yeah.
No. And so, like, initially, you hate them. And then, like, I freaking felt so bad for Russ, dude.
The older one?
The guy. Yeah, the FBI guy, like, hoodwinks. I was like, oh, man. Like, the adult brother.
Yes, right. Yeah.
I was, because as soon as he's like, I hate those, but that word, but he's like, yeah, fucking fag, like, get off me, whatever. As soon as that happened, I was like, I turned to Samantha, I was like, he's either going to beat him up or he's going to go back and he's going to make out with him. And then he made out with him. And I was like, okay, I got it. He's got it.
Yeah.
And so then I thought he was just like kind of reading, the FBI guy was kind of reading the situation, but then they find out way later, like, he played him the whole time because he found out he had an arrest when he was like 19 because he picked up like a boy prostitute.
Yeah.
Like years and years and years and years ago. And he just played him.
If that's always an angle that this FBI agent.
Like plays the gay angle?
Yeah.
Well, because his partner. Was his partner.
Was his boyfriend.
Both senses of the term. They were partners and, like, lovers.
And he had issues with them. Because he's psycho.
Yeah, because he's a nut job. And he, like, doesn't play by the rules and, like, whatever. But
you hate that. Other times you're, like, you're absolutely cheering for him.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't like the FBI guy. Just because I kind of started to like the Langmore family. Like, Wyatt, the kid, is, like, a punk in the first episode, but then, like...
But it's kind of intellectual, and he's not too
bad,
kid.
And, like, you kind of feel bad, like, for that whole family. You just kind of feel bad for them. Like, you don't excuse their bad behavior, necessarily, but, like, you kind of feel for them a little bit.
Yeah. You know, it's not so cut and dry.
Right.
You know, so they do a great job at that.
God, it's so good. So much. Like, so much happened. Like, the freaking blue cat, Rachel, like, who I recognize the actress from something. And, like, I looked at her IMDb and I still couldn't figure out, but I know that actress from something.
I don't know her from anything, but she was good.
She is so good. And it just, like, cliffhanger status, she, like, steals some money and bails. And I'm like, no, like. You were my friend, like, you were one of my favorite people.
But they lay that out pretty good, that she feels trapped, and she feels trapped right away. Like, she doesn't trust Jason Bateman, she's like, I've seen your type before. You know, you right. come in and I'm going to be screwed. I'm going to owe you everything.
And, right.
And
but then she starts to like, she says like, don't make me, don't get my expectations up or whatever.
Right.
And then she comes in later and she's like, my expectations have been met. So great. Good on you. Whatever. Like she falls into it and like thinking it's all well and good. And then later on, way down the line, she checks the books and she's like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. You are you. Yeah. So,
man,
the storyline. Oh God, this is it's so good.
It goes from zero to like a lot of people. Because I posted on Facebook like you should check it out. It's good. Uh-huh. And people are like, I don't know, the first couple episodes not really got me. And I was like, it goes from zero to 100 real quick.
It's good. It's super good. Yeah. So this character and the whole storyline mm-hmm. about the hillbilly, not redneck.
Oh yeah, yeah
hillbilly
yeah.
crime boss family.
Correct. The Snells
that make heroin. I mean, make poppies. They make heroin.
They grow poppies. Poppies is their front.
Yep.
And then they literally they're heroin dealers.
So right?
And they use the preacher and like
yeah. And so this scene where you find out this preacher is who kind of rolls up. Jason Bateman rolls up on the with his boat and he finds right. this like boat up service
right.
church service that's yep. happening. And it's kind of the way they present it. It's like it's legit.
Right.
And you feel like, wow, this guy is kind of cool.
Right.
And
he's got like a cool following. They like boat yep. up to
they
him.
They boat and up
like,
and he just preaches yep. the word. Mm-hmm. And it's like inspiring.
Yeah.
And then they tell this preacher's backstory.
Right.
In like part of an episode.
And he wasn't a preacher. Wasn't like religious
they
at all.
They don't really say what he was, right? All they show is like him right before the
right, but he later mentions like he wasn't really religious until
right.
until that moment.
Right. So he steps in and tries to intervene in a crime.
A liquor store robbery or something.
And he's trying to talk the guy down. And he gets shot.
In the heart.
And like,
what?
And so he manages to live, yep. and since he lived, he felt it was a miracle,
yeah.
and that he was going to dedicate his life to God.
Yep.
So he's starts this. He has this boat service that he seems to be pretty happy with.
Yep.
Jason Bateman comes in, finds out church is a really good opportunity to launder money.
Yeah. There's no taxes involved, and
to do this, that, and the other. Yeah.
Right. We'll build you a church. I got you.
Yeah. God, it's so good. That's so good.
Yep.
And
because that's when you first find out about the freaking Snell people. Because he's like, ooh, I got right. an idea. We'll
yeah.
build you a
when
church.
When you find out, yeah, when and you find he, out the guy, you can't do that.
Nope, you can't
we
build a
need
church.
You
we
to
need
deliver
you on the water.
Because
that's where the heroin goes.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, God, that's brilliant. And they talk about like the certain legislation that happens on water as yep. opposed to land, and they're able to like manage it over the water,
correct.
No problems.
Yep.
And so you're like, God, that's good.
Yep.
That's really
not,
good.
And not only that, but like the nobody, none of the enforcement or whatever, they ever check. They won't roll up on the preacher because like he's just preaching whatever.
He's
and
a preacher,
right? They're distributing their stuff in the hymnals.
Right.
And so it's like it's a brilliant plan.
It's brilliant.
And it's worked brilliant. For them for years.
Right.
Right.
And
but then when he goes to build him a church, he'll be on land, and like they can't have that because then their heroin distribution is gone,
screwed,
0%. Right. So man,
yeah. The way the whole thing plays out, and like how they get from A to B and Z to Z, and like to the last to the end of the season.
Yep.
It's crazy, but it's all like super logical steps, and like
my big thing was as soon as the whole Snell family is like going nuts, I was like, why don't you just call Dell and like say, hey, Dell, there's a problem. Like, there's this family that apparently is super big into heroin and da 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 da.
Now, that's
and
the guy who he's
and
into.
They're causing a problem.
Dell's the main guy.
Dell's his boss.
Right. Who right? he's been Jason into Bateman's into boss. His entire time on
correct.
This show.
And so I'm like, why don't you just tell Dell, like, there's this other money laundering scheme. Because remember how I said this was a brilliant idea? Well, look, it was so good. Like, there's also these people that are doing it, plus heroin, like, out of this place. Can you come take care of it? Like, I don't understand why he never
did
that.
Well, he
did
kind of do that. I mean, because he bought him into the... to
way later.
To pet you. Oh, you mean he think he should have done it right away?
I think as soon as he found out that there was a problem and they started threatening... The Snell people started threatening...
Well, I think that he doesn't know... He doesn't understand just how involved the Snells are and just how much.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't go right away.
They threaten his family. They tell him straight to his face, we are going to cut that baby out of that woman. And he's like, okay, yeah, well, I'll fix it. I'll put him back on the water. It'll all be fixed, whatever. No big deal. And then as soon as, like, the preacher puts a cross on the land church again, they're like, uh-oh. And he flies his happy ass as fast as he can to the preacher's house, and the Snells are there like, oh, nice baby. Like, he knows that they're, like, the devil people.
Yeah.
Like, why doesn't he just call his boys, the drug cartel, and be like, come take care of this problem?
Hey, I can't imagine ever really wanting to call them, you know. Or, you know,
right.
And, like,
right.
getting in more with them, right. you know. So, but clearly his only way out, he feels, is for them to team up.
Right.
And for...
So, yeah, way down the line, he, like, hey, Del, you need to meet these people and, like, everything.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, we got heroin.
Dude, that freaking last scene, though.
Okay, so that last scene, I got to tell you, that was... fucking brilliant.
It was so good.
It was so good. So good. I'm watching it like noon or something like that, mm-hmm. like a week ago or so.
Yeah.
And Rachel's home. And Rachel is walking through the house and I'm like, this show's really good.
Right.
And like watching the show.
I'm zoned out right
and
now.
And so they play it up because they say he has a conversation with Jason Bateman. A great conversation where the preacher, who is at his wit's end because his wife is gone. He has a baby now.
Yep. Because the Snells literally like C-sectioned it out and they murdered.
We don't know. But of course, clearly that's what happened.
That's what happened.
Right. That's what happened. So because he decided to, he went on the water and then he freaked out and he
couldn't
told him,
he,
I'm
I
not,
can't,
I can't do
I
it.
I can't do it. Can't be a mule. I know now, so I can't do it.
Right. And so they cut his baby out of his wife. And I
thought they
wife.
Were going to kill the baby. And that's what I thought they meant. They were going to cut the baby out and take the baby and, like, leave him to, like, deal with the wife. That's what I thought they meant by we're going to cut that baby out
I don't know
woman.
What's worse.
No, they're, right. They're both terrible. No, they're both way
they're
terrible.
It's all bad.
But then when he showed up home, I thought he was going to find, like, a dead baby. But instead he found
a live baby
and no wife.
Right.
Right.
And so he's having a conversation with Jason Bateman, and he says, you know, I'm losing my faith,
right.
you know, and his wife tells him, you weren't blessed. You were just lucky.
Right.
Like that guy had bad aim and he missed your heart by a quarter of an inch.
Right.
And it wasn't God. It was just luck.
And you have to go. And now that we know about this, have to keep going. You have to keep doing it. Right.
So he
can't do it.
Well, and so his faith is all thrown into, you know, and like crisis of faith is always a great.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
plot point.
Yeah.
And so he's having an enormous crisis of faith. And and he says to Jason Bateman that I think that there is a God
there
because
be
clearly you're the devil.
Because you are the devil.
Yeah.
Right.
like,
I was like,
just like,
damn, that was good writing.
Yeah. 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 Like,
like,
oh,
damn.
That's, yeah.
That was such a good line.
And to be that guy. Yeah. To be Jason Bateman's character.
Yeah.
You're like,
and he's like, I'm not really trying to be.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to save my family and like whatever. Like,
right.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's just so good. And so, but he says, why would I raise a child? He's like, I'm not raising a child in this world. Why would I want to even do that?
Right.
And so they pretty much like let you know that he's
going to kill.
He's thinking about not keeping the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they marches that kid out through the woods. Throws away the
baby
carrier
and walks in the water. Just, I was like, he's going to drown himself. He's just going to keep swimming. And, like, they're both going to die together.
Yeah. And so Rachel's in the kitchen and he takes that baby and he plunges it into the water. And I'm like, no, no. And I like literally like, no, come on, dude, come on. And also I was mad.
Yeah.
I was mad at the show.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, I don't want to go to this place.
Yeah, no thanks.
I don't want to go to this place.
Correct.
where the character drowns his own baby.
Right.
I don't want to be there.
I don't want to be there. Nope.
And I'm mad at you for taking me there.
Correct. I was right there with you.
Because there's like, a lot of Breaking Bad in this show.
There's a lot of similar themes.
A lot of similar themes in Breaking Bad.
It's so different.
It is different. It's totally different.
But it's
different.
Very similar.
There's
at the
a lot
same
of
time.
Similar stuff.
Yeah,
but one of those things was like in Breaking Bad where I was mad at it going, I didn't need to see that.
Right.
I don't need to, you know.
Correct.
Go through that. And I didn't want to see that.
Nope. I didn't want
to
see
it. He does it long enough to where you're pretty sold.
Right.
God damn it.
He's
just
drowned
his baby.
Yep.
Yeah. And he yanks it out of the water.
And crosses it.
Dude, that was fucking brilliant.
Samantha just goes, yeah, right.
Oh, no, that's too bad, because that, I was like, that's brilliant.
That's what I said. I was like, he just baptized it. He just cleansed it, and like he's on board again.
That is brilliant.
And she's like, the baby wouldn't live that long, and I was like, it was like 15 seconds. Like,
and it doesn't matter.
A human will naturally hold their breath, like
or whatever, whatever. It doesn't matter.
It was so good.
It was brilliant. It was.
But yeah, I was pissed too. I was like, what are you doing? No, no, you can't. And then it wasn't. And I was like, oh, you tricked me.
When that was done,
you tricked me, show.
You tricked me good. You tricked me super good.
Yeah.
You made me feel something. God damn it.
They got me.
And I was like, yeah. And I was like, I was like standing applause. Like, well done. That was good. That was good.
Well, there's like a few of those kind of twisty moments, especially towards the end.
There are. But that was definitely like the pinnacle. Like that moment was
I don't know. I thought the end with Dell and the hillbillies and
that was more shocking. But
I did not see that happening.
I kind of saw it happening because
for a split second I thought something was going to happen, but I didn't think what happened like was going to happen.
Well, what what's cool about it is up to like 10 minutes or 5 minutes left in the episode or in the season.
You're like, oh, things are going to be
this is what's
going to
happen.
And you're going to see what's going to happen in season two.
Right. Yeah. These guys are going to work together and they're going to be running heroin through from the Ozarks and then blammo.
Dude, he just says redneck. And she's like, what'd you say? And then when the shot was on him the whole time, I thought it was going to be like a cutaway when he turned around. She was going to be like standing there, maybe pointing a gun or something.
Right.
But he just, I said, I can't believe you convinced me to work with these red. And as soon as he says the word red, literally you just watch his head get blown off by a fucking shotgun about a foot away from his face.
Yeah.
Like, and I knew, like, all bets were off when you saw the very first episode, homeboy, like, splat on the ground. I was like, oh, that was gross. But, like, his head got blown to smithereens, like right in front of your
when they
face.
When they show him leaning against the wall there, and his head is just like a David Letterman watermelon, from the 80s.
Gnarly, man. Woof.
It's bad.
It's crazy.
But good. Good. Well, actually, I got to say, that particular part I had a problem with. Like
when he got shot?
Yes.
Why?
Because it just seemed a little too stupid. Like, you wouldn't, and the wise old hillbilly is telling his wife, now in her cooler minds, we wouldn't have done something. Now, should we have?
Right.
You know, but I'm like, that's a little tepid.
Right. You shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Right.
He was being disrespectful. I can't deal with that.
Right.
I was like, what? And like, I thought first of all, the whole season, Jason Bateman is on point. But in that moment, he's just like, completely like freaking out
fucked us. Yeah.
Yeah, you just fucked us. Do you know who he works for? His boss is he doesn't say, but he's like, do you know what you just did? You killed the number two in like the biggest cartel in the world, basically. He doesn't say that, but like we know.
Right.
But it's like, what the fuck? He's like, you just go home.
You don't disrespect me.
We take care of our own and you're ours now. So you can just go home and la-di-da. And he's just like, okay. And like, oh man, there's so many small, like intricate parts.
You're right. The ending was pretty tight too. Like
the very, very ending.
Yeah. He sets this whole family up to leave town and set up.
See, that's what I was just going to say. Like there's so many small little intricate parts. Like he set that up right when they left Chicago, because that's what she says. She's like, when did you do this? And he's like, right when you left Chicago. And she's asking, when did he do that? Because if he had done it before he knew that she was cheating.
Right.
Like, obviously, that's why she's included. But he still included her, even though he knew she was a cheating whore.
Right.
He still paid.
Because he probably knows that he is somewhat responsible in this, that unfolding.
Right. It was still like, like her face was just like
that was good.
He still loves me, kind of that moment. Like even though I fucked him royal by breaking his heart into smithereens.
Why did you do this? And she says it to him like, why didn't? Because he has an opportunity during the show,
right,
to have her be killed.
Correct.
like the mob boss. Yeah. Mob boss is like, what do you want me to do? Yeah. I'll kill her right now if correct. You want. And
he doesn't.
He doesn't. Right.
Because, I mean, he does. He does love her. He's just heartbroken over it.
Right.
And so the fact that she now knows that he still wanted her protected, and maybe it's just because for the kids or whatever, but like the fact that he paid somebody to come up with an extra secret new identity right. for her after he knew that she was a two-timer
right.
is just like a small little thing that just keeps like building you up in the Jason Bateman team.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Jason Bateman plays a character cheated on in what's that movie called? Extract.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I always think about that when characters and actors who pick roles where they're always playing, like Michael Douglas playing the sexual victim.
Right. <You know>? Yeah. Yep.
Come on, dude. Anyway, but Jason Bateman, you wonder like, oh, I wonder if he's
yeah.
dealt with infidelity in his life and feels like that's something he needs to kind of act on screen to deal with it.
Yeah, for sure.
But so good.
Yeah. So like I hope there's a season two. I don't know why there wouldn't be. I thought it was freaking great. Mm-hmm. But I do want to move away. It's been 45 minutes.
All right.
I don't know how much time has been on that show because there was most stuff at the beginning, 12 least, minutes or whatever at the beginning.
Right. So half hour at least.
Yeah. But because we are going to have a Life's a Biz here at the end. I do want to give you guys another spoiler alert that right now we're going to now talk about
episode four of Game of Thrones.
Of Game of Thrones, season seven, episode four, because we can't not talk about it.
Life's a Biz!
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Bissett here once again with this week's episode of Game of Thrones. It's Life's a Biz right here on Life's a Binge. You guys ready for this Game of Thrones? Because I certainly am. I know I said that the first episode was the best, and then the second episode with the boobs, shout out, that was the best one. And then last week's was the, no. This is the best episode that we have ever seen of this show. Let's get right into it. After six seasons of promising one thing and then doing another, the Lannisters have finally paid their debts. And they did this by stealing a bunch of money from the Tyrells, which, you know, they murdered a bunch of people and took over a bunch of things. And but, you know, hey, they got their money, right? So that's cool. Cersei is getting rid of her enemies and paying off her debts. And so now she's one of the most powerful people in all of Westeros because she has all of the money. Gee, what could go wrong when evil white people have a bunch of money? I'm going to let that one sit right there. All right, so there we are in Dragonstone. And just like the rest of us, Daenerys has a lot of questions about Missandei's sexy times with Grey Worm. We all have questions. How did that work? What happened there? What did they do? And so they had this little look at back at each other. And it's like, yeah, we did it, but they don't really get into it. And they lead us all into, you know, curiosity. So then we are with Jon Snow and Daenerys, who I can't stress enough, everybody. That's her nephew. She is his aunt. Let's talk about that some more. They are related. But it's George R.R. Martin. So, you know, even people that are related, they can get down. It's cool. It's kind of incestuous, but it's also kind of romantic. Them being in that cave, it's all right. John's like, hey, I want to show you this. He's like, excuse me while I whip this out. And it's a torch, and he shows this. He shows Daenerys a bunch of cave drawings of White Walkers. And apparently it was put there a really long time ago as a warning that this is the person you should be fighting. And Daenerys is like, wow, I'm really impressed. But then they find out that Cersei and Jaime Lannister have double-crossed everyone and taken over, and now Daenerys is pissed at Tyrion. And Tyrion's all like, well, I don't have instant messenger or anything. I'm not chatting it up with Jaime. I mean, how was I supposed to know? She loses her shit and basically tells Tyrion to, you know, get the F out. But Jon ends up calming her down, and he's like, hey, you know what? don't be a murderous lunatic right now, even though you have dragons. Daenerys is like, you know, whatever. You know what? I have my dragon. It's going to be about time to use it. And we're all thinking at this time, is she going to use it? Is she going to do it? We must know. John says she has a good heart. And then Davos says, I've noticed you staring at her heart. Yeah, we all have, Davos. We got you, brother. All right, and then meanwhile, Littlefinger is in Winterfell telling Sansa and Arya the whole routine. Oh, and Arya's back, by the way, which is pretty cool. But Littlefinger's like, hey, yeah, I wanted to nail your mom a long time ago, so you can trust me. That's enough to do it. And to prove that, he gives Bran the dagger that once tried to kill Bran. Because when someone tries to murder me, I definitely want the murder weapon to keep around for myself. But Bran's kind of a dick now, and he doesn't really want it, so he gives it to his assassin sister. And then Arya decides, I'm going to spar with Brienne. So the two most badass women who don't own dragons are now going to fight each other. Now, they're just sparring. They're just hanging out. They're just doing their thing. But it's a great scene. And Littlefinger is looking on, and he realizes that Arya has a list of people she wants to murder, and she is really good at murdering people. Remember in episode one when she murdered about 50 people? Yeah, be thinking of that tonight, Littlefinger, as you go to bed. So Bran's here, Sansa's here, Arya's here. The remaining Stark kids, remember Jon Snow is not a Stark, are reunited. And Sansa is like, wait a minute, one of them is the Three-Eyed Crow, and one of them is a girl who has no name who murders people? Yeah, I'm kind of, I need to catch up a little bit. So here we go. We are between Highgarden and King's Landing, and Jaime is there. Everything's fine. Everything's great. The armies are there, and we hear a little rumble. And here come the freaking armies of Daenerys. And then we think, oh, those are just horses. All right, yeah, those are just Dothraki. They're just no. Ah! That's my Drogon. Did you like that? Ah! There comes Drogon. She's riding the freaking dragon, and she takes out freaking everybody. What a bad ass scene. She takes out all their supplies. She takes out all their food, all their money, all their water. She kills a couple people. But you know what part I didn't like, and neither did my wife as we were watching, is freaking Bronn. Bronn loads up that catapult thing with a giant freaking arrow, whatever that is called, and aims it at the dragon. Now, this is about the time I lost my spouse, because she ducked behind the couch and said, if they murder this dragon, I'm done with this shit. Now, we just watched a guy's head get burned off, and another guy got, like, chopped in half. But no, it's fine. The fake make-believe dragon full of CGI, if that thing gets an arrow to the skull, she's done with this shit. Hey, I completely understand. But luckily, it misses Drogon in the shoulder, and he's like, get that shit off my shoulder. And then Jaime sees Daenerys, and we think, okay, now these are two main characters that are going to fight each other. What's going to happen? Because we really like Daenerys. We pretty much like Jaime. I mean, he's kind of a dick, but we kind of like him. So we don't... Someone's going to come out of this. And Jaime's almost going to get Daenerys. Drogon notices this. He shoots fire at him. And then somebody knocks him into apparently what is the bottom of Lake Tahoe. Because he just basically falls to the depths of the sea, right off the shore. I don't know too many lakes and rivers that drop off that fast, but, you know, again, I'm complaining about a show that has dragons. Anyway, guys, that's where it was left off. And, man, was it good. So satisfying. Yeah. I'm gonna sit in my bug and think about it some more. It was really good. All right, so that was this week's episode wrap-up of Game of Thrones. Tune in next week, same biz time, same biz channel for Life's a Binge. This has been Life's a Biz. I am Mike Bissett, and next week, I'll see you on the Tempur-Pedic.
Life's a Biz!
Okay, so... So last Sunday.
Yeah, so we'll still have a full recap, but I just kind of want to like spitball.
Yeah, and he may repeat something, but that's okay.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm looking for, I won't, we won't hear it either.
Right.
So we're looking forward to hearing it too, yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
But last Sunday when my sink was clogged up.
Okay.
And I was trying to trying to deal with it.
Right.
And so
do it yourself, or did you get a plumber, or like
we eventually got a plumber.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
At first on Sunday we were going to try to deal with it ourselves.
Sure.
So Rob kind of manages the apartments next door.
Mm-hmm.
So you met Rob and his wife Selena.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we went over their house to watch for Game of Thrones
right,
season
and he
episode.
Had the big party
yes,
with like the with mead the, and
yep,
all that
yep.
stuff. Yeah.
So so I asked him if he's got a snake. To sneak out the pee trap and
yeah.
And he does, and so he brings it over, and they had already watched it. Something happened Sunday. Like
yeah,
maybe
there was a leak somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah, there was, but I don't know, but I didn't hear about it or see it. But
right.
Something had happened. Like I think I must have like worked at the zoo that night or something.
Oh, you didn't see it on Sunday.
So I didn't know. I didn't see it like right at the time.
Oh, gotcha.
So it was like 8 or 9 that we were going to watch it.
Sure.
And so he brings over the snake and we just started watching it. And he comes in and he's like, oh. And he says, this was the best fucking episode of all of them so far.
Yep.
Like, this is the best Game of Thrones I've ever seen, ever. And I'm not going to say anything about it,
right.
But just watch it.
Yep.
And so I was like, cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He may be right.
I think he might be right. It was, I mean, there's been some good moments throughout the run. I mean, obviously, we're in season 7. So, like, 6 past seasons, there's been some really good moments. But this episode was the shit. Like, it was so good.
It was the dragons was the main thing. Like, that was the main.
No, for real. At the end, dude, that freaking battle. What's it called? The battle of the
loot
train battle.
Yeah.
That's what they, because there's always a name for it. So they call this one the loot train battle. And dude, like I still can't get over it. There's like one shot in particular where it's like widescreen shot and like the dragon pans in from the left and is just like breathing the fire and it's just like this most epic, like beautiful freaking thing I've ever seen, dude. It's so good.
Or it's just blowing
it's just
stuff
blowing
up.
Stuff up
boom,
and it's like
boom,
a perfect
boom, boom, boom,
it's a perfect like profile shot and it's like probably like 1 second long of a shot and I'm just like I can't help it every time I see it. I'm like, it's so good.
I know.
It's almost my cover photo.
I may have to watch it tonight like because it's going to be on tomorrow.
It's almost my cover photo. Like,
that's
I want to screenshot
good
it and
that
be like,
be a good
I'm going to make it because it's so good, dude. And the thing is, like, I don't know if I like Daenerys.
That is a thing.
Like,
that is a thing.
Like,
there's a couple things.
I don't know. Like,
you know,
I was on board with her for so many seasons.
Me too.
And now I'm like, you're kind of turning into a crazy bitch. Like,
yeah.
You're kind of turning into a, quote, Targaryen.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of mad kinging it up. Like,
yeah.
Your family has this reputation, and you're kind of falling. Not really, but you kind of are.
Yeah. No, I think that's definitely well done in the making of the series because
right.
I think we're supposed to feel that way.
Right. But now, like, because in my mind, it was always like Starks or Daenerys. Like, Starks or Daenerys.
One of those
Starks
two.
Or Daenerys.
Yeah.
Those are they're, quote, the good guys
right.
in the show, even though they've done terrible things, all of them.
They've all have, yes.
But, like, that's who you're kind of rooting for. But now I'm, like, 100% like Jon Snow. Like, 100% Jon Snow.
Me too.
And, like, it used to be like, do I like Jon? Do I like Danny? Do I like Jon? Do I like Danny? And now I'm like, I like John. I like John more.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yep. He, yes.
But that scene with the dragons, that was so shit. I was like, okay, maybe I like Danny again. Like,
it's funny. Like, through the series, like, I've been attracted to her the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not so attracted to her this year.
Right.
You know, like, it's kind of like, oh, no, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
like,
weird. It's very, it's like, bizarre.
And you know, it's kind of like, like anybody, like you get to know them, right. And then
your true colors are coming out,
and you're like, right. Ugh. You know,
you're like, you're not such a good person.
You have
anymore.
A magic ass, but it doesn't really have as much magic anymore, right. As it used to when you were cool or nice or whatever.
Yep. Now, in this was this episode where Arya came home too, or was that?
Yes.
Okay, because that was epic.
Yeah, that was great.
And like, I just can't. And like, Sansa even says, she's like, I almost couldn't breathe when I saw you. Like, imagine what Jon's going to do. Because, like, they were, like best buddies. Like, as far as siblings go, like, Jon and Arya were, like, the best of friends. And, like, oh, God. Like, the three remaining true Starks are at Winterfell now. Like, the three alive ones are there. The only one missing is Jon.
You know we have to do another Game of Thrones.
When it wraps up, or?
Or at some point, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, another one, like, with Shay.
Oh, yeah.
And her, like...
Encyclopedia
knowledge. Yes, yes. Because there's, like, questions that I have, like, about the history of Jon Snow and, what's his name, Reek.
Theon?
Theon, yeah. But when they meet up again for the first time in a long time.
Right.
And
oh, hey, Jon, I didn't think you'd be here, or whatever he said.
Disappointed, yeah.
Yeah.
but yeah. Yeah. Because you... Theon was like a jerk.
Yeah.
And then.
Because he betrayed the Starks kind of by giving them Winterfell and like claiming he burned the freaking kids.
Right.
Even though he didn't, which we knew. But like nobody else knew that.
Right.
And still, Jon doesn't know. He still thinks they're dead. Because he doesn't know Bran's alive.
He doesn't find out in this episode.
No.
Because he's at the.
He's gone. He's at Dragonstone. And like the cave paintings and all that. That was all this episode, right?
Yep. Cave paintings were dope too.
And like, well, not only that, but like everyone, even the producers are like, Jon and Danny are gonna get it on. And
they're clearly like overtly hinting at that.
Right. They are very, very much hinting that it's gonna happen. And I don't want to step on. No, I don't want to say that because it's something Jesse said off mic because we didn't have mics. But like, I think I want to talk about it with him a little bit later. But he had a theory on John and Danny.
Oh, that. Okay. I know we'll save that for.
I want him to.
He can give it himself. Yeah, next week.
But
next week.
Yeah, whenever. As you're watching the eclipse happen.
Right. I can't wait. I'm so excited for this eclipse. I'm gonna lose my mind.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start with the episode of Game of Thrones. There was just so much that happened, and like the fucking dragon fight at the end, and when. Like, so much little subtleties in that where, like, Tyrion's watching, like, his, quote, former Bannerman, all the freaking Lannisters get blown to smithereens by a dragon.
Yeah, like that
his,
was rough.
His new team is Daenerys. He's, like, he's literally a hand of the queen.
Yeah.
And, like, now he's watching all of his, like, old allies and family and everyone get blown up by a fucking dragon.
Yeah.
And
clearly he still, like, loves Jaime.
Well, yeah, he's, like, the only person in the whole Lannister family that actually kind of treated him with any respect. And that's why when, like, Jaime's, like, spear in hand, like, charging, and Tyrion just says, he's like, no. Fucking idiot.
Yeah, you fool. Yeah. So good. So good.
Oh, man.
Good stuff.
Yeah. It was so good.
What are we, episode 4?
Yeah.
There's so much more to go.
I think there's only 7 episodes.
What?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes. So there's 7 this season, and then there's one more season of 7 more, and that's it. Total.
When?
Probably 20,
like spring, like April,
probably way later. I don't know when it's happening, but this season is definitely short. There's only 7, and next season is the last season, and there's only 7. So there's only 3 more this year.
Really? Holy shit! That's like,
and you know it's gonna end. You know it's gonna end with like.
Cersei.
It's probably going to end with like
Cersei and Daenerys, like face to face,
and Jon and like the White Walkers at the wall, and you're going to be like, "What the fuck is going to happen?" Like that's probably how it's going to end. It's going to be like, "Oh shit, the Night King is here, and he's got all the White Walkers, and they're coming at the wall, and Dany's about to like blow Cersei out the water."
So you want my soothsaying, sure. Like a future seeing,
hit it up.
It's Game of Thrones vision.
Yep.
So the White Walkers, and there's I try not to worry about it too much because you're just trying to enjoy it.
Sure.
But you try to like figure out what their analogies are.
Sure.
You know what they're trying to do. So there is an analogy about everybody who's feuding with each other who are like, you're so stupid, you need to like get
together. Right.
Because there is a bigger, much bigger enemy.
Right.
Now, that could be in any like, kind of like patriotism way.
Anything. Like, it's like Hitler's coming. We all need to band together and defeat Hitler.
Right.
Right.
Right. Dang it. What was I going to say now? Oh, it's gone now.
I threw you off with Hitler.
The
Night King and the White Walkers, you were going to go with who you think they are analogizing.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And then, but we're going to find out later in the episode, in the last season, that they need to band together with the White Walkers to stop them from some other new
threat. To stop something else from happening.
Yeah, some new alien threat.
That'd be crazy.
You know, that's Independence Day. It's like, all the countries got to band together.
Yep.
Stop fighting. Why are we fighting each other? We have an alien invader.
To fight the aliens, right?
Yeah. So,
So at some point, maybe before we talked about it, there hopefully will be a Life's Biz recap of that same episode that we just talked about thrown in there. But I think that wraps us up. For
we're good. We're solid.
Yeah. I said it was going to be a short, and guess where we're at? 58 minutes.
Nice. Oh, good. An hour? That's good.
And plus business thing, it'll probably be like around hour 5-ish, somewhere around there. But yeah, man, when our Jesse plan fell through, I was like, I need to talk about Ozark. Like, I need to talk about
I needed to the other day. And I was like, have you watched Ozark yet?
Yeah.
Because I just watched that, like, the last episode with that scene with the preacher. And I was like, I need to talk to somebody about this now, right now.
Yeah, it was so good. Like, and there's so many small little intricacies in that show, like I said. And like when we can't do it again. But like when he gets the kids to like wrap the money and stuff, I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like,
that was great.
It was so nuts,
that
dude.
Was great.
Anyway, so cool. Give us a phone call, leave us a voicemail, we'll play it like we did with Nick's, and we'll take your stuff into consideration. And it doesn't even have to be like what we're going to talk about. Again, it's more of like, if you just really love something, we might not necessarily watch it, but still, just hit the voicemail up and let us know what you're loving, what you're watching, what you should be watching.
Right.
And not just me and BJ, but everyone, all the bingers out there, like, what should we be watching? So that's what the voicemail is for. And as always, you can just send us an email if you want to do that as well at lifesabinge@gmail.com.
I hope you check that.
Yes, I do. Good. I do all of it. Good. I check it all. And I got Jessica to start tweeting, so we tweet now too.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
So follow us on Twitter at Life's a Binge. And all that being said, I think we're done. So that was this week of Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge!
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher. Follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. And be sure and check out lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the couch.